Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Victory House of Prayer International Ministry, and my name is Phenicia Lee, teacher of the Holy Bible. Good morning. This is February, and in the year 2015, what a blessing that we are here today. But we just wanted to make sure everyone had a great Valentine's Day. Today is Friday, February 20th, 2015. And I am just blessed to be here today. My mom, my grandmother had a birthday, and she turned 100. What a blessing. And they had this celebration at her church, at our church, and it was just glorious. Glory to God. But we just want to get into relationships and marriage and singleness today. So let's pray and get right into the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this broadcast. For those who are listening and those who will be listening later on, we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all of the praise. Now speak through me today what you have for me to say to your people about the Word and relationships, marriage, and being single. And any other thing you want me to say, I am willing and obedient. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here today. Move, set free, and deliver, and make whole. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God, His Son. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just happy to be here today and to be able to preach and teach the Word of God to you. If you have your Bibles, we're reading from the Holman's Version. If you have the King James Version, that's even better. But we're going to try to, we don't have that much time, so we're going to get right into the Word. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9, and I'll read from your hearing out of the Holman's Version as spoken. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Now, the first covenant also had regulations for ministry and earthly sanctuary. Verse 2, for a tabernacle was set up, and in the first room, which is called the holy place, glory to God, were the lampstand, the table, and the presentation loaves. Verse 3, behind the second curtain, the tabernacle was called the Holy of Holies. I mean, that's a real holy place. Glory to God, the Holy of Holies. And this is so sacred and sanctified and set apart from anything that's not holy, because God is a holy God. He's the Most High God, and there's no other God besides Him. And I'm just grateful to be and a privilege to be able to teach and read this Word to you today. Verse 4, it contained the gold altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant, covered with gold on all sides, in which there was a gold jar containing the manna. Glory to God. Glory to God. It contained gold altar of incense, the Ark of the Covenant covered with gold on all sides, in which there was a gold jar containing the manna, Aaron's rod, the budded, that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. Verse 5, the cherubim of glory were above it, overshadowing the mercy seat. It is not possible to speak about these things in detail right now. These things having been set up this way, the priests entered the first room repeatedly performing their ministry. But the high priest alone enters the second room. See, the high priest, nobody could go back there to God. And this is how it was before Jesus came. So the high priest had to go behind the curtain to remit our sins, those of our forefathers' sins, and that was only done for 1 year. But the high priest alone enters the second room, and that only once a year, just as I just said, and never without blood, when he offers for himself and for the sins of the people committed ignorance. Because see, people do ignorant things not knowing they are sinning. So, verse 8, the Holy Spirit was making it clear that the way into the Holy of Holies had not yet been disclosed while the first tabernacle was still standing. This is a symbol for the present time during which gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the worshiper conscious. Verse 10, they are physical regulations and only deal with food, drink, and various washing imposed until the time of restoration. Verse 11, now the Messiah has appeared, high priest of the good things that have come, in the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. He entered the Holy of Holies once for all, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Verse 13. For if the blood and bulls and the ashes of heifers sprinkling those who are defiled sanctified for purification of the flesh, verse 14, how much more will the blood of the Messiah, who through his eternal spirit have offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse our consciences from dead works to serve the living God. God is alive. Amen. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant. That's verse 15. So that those who are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance because of a death has taken place for redemption from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. See, we got a better covenant now. When a will exists, the death of the testator must be established. Verse 17, for a will is valid only when people die, since it never enforced while the testator is living. Verse 18, that is why even the first covenant was inaugurated. Verse 19, for when every commandment had been proclaimed by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats, along with the water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled the scroll itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant that God has commanded for you. In the same way, he sprinkled the tabernacle and all the vessels of worship with blood. According to the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Verse 23, therefore it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves to be purified with better sacrifices than these. For the Messiah, verse 24, did not enter a sanctuary made with hands, hallelujah, only a model of the true one, but into the heavens itself, that he might now appear in the presence of God for us. Glory to God. 25, he did not do this to offer himself many times, as the high priest entered the sanctuary yearly with the blood of another. He only had to do it once. The high priest had to do it every year because he wasn't perfect like Jesus was. Glory to God. But now he has appeared one time at the end of the ages for the removal of sins by the sacrifices of himself. Verse 27, and just as it appointed for people to die once and after this judgment. 28, so also the Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to bear sins, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Amen. Glory to God. Well, really, I just wanted you to know about the new covenant that Jesus did for us. And that brings us into Ruth about marriages and being single. First of all, let me tell you, as single people, you know, it's a blessing to be single. Hallelujah. And the church don't really put that out there. But because you are single, you have more time for Jesus. You have more time for Father God. The Holy Spirit can speak to you to do whatever you need to do. But when you are married, you got to think of the things of that covenant, which is a covenant between the marriage husband, the wife, and Father God. So if you have your Bible, now turn to Ruth. Hallelujah. And our time is getting short, so I'm going to move on quickly. Let me give you a little background information about Ruth. Ruth had two sons and two daughter-in-laws, and she had moved away from her hometown, living with her husband, but her husband and her two sons died. But she said she was feeling so bad, she was just really low and depressed, I would say. And she was saying, well, you daughter-in-laws, I have no more sons, so you go find you some husbands and move on away from me. But the two daughter-in-law, one of them left there, kissed her and left, and she went on by her business. But Ruth said, no, your God will be my God, and your whatever you do, I'm going to go with you. So by her saying her God was going to be her, and her God is our God, by her doing that, she was able to get, she went back home with Naomi and experience a blessing by getting married to the Boaz. And I wanted to go on and say that, but I want you to read with me Ruth chapter 1, verse 11. And Naomi was saying, but Naomi replied, return home, my daughters. Why do you want to go with me? Am I able to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. Go on, for I am too old to have another husband. even if I thought there was a still hope for me to have a husband tonight and to bear sons, verse 13, would you be willing to wait for them to grow up? Would you restrain yourself from marrying? No, my daughters, my life is much too bitter. So she was bitter for you to share because the Lord has had turned against me. So she thought God had turned against her. Again, they wept loud. They was crying. And Orpah kissed her, her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Naomi said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her God. Follow your sister-in-law. But Ruth replied, do not persuade me to leave you or go back and not follow you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Well, we just finished reading about the covenant of God and how great our God is. He's gives you eternal life. And life is not good without having God. I don't care whether you're single or married. But if, when you're married, you got to tend to things of each other and be unselfish. A lot of people go into marriage, and I know I'm a single person talking this, but they go into it as a single person, not thinking about the other person. But you have to give up your ways of doing things, and two people become one, and that's not easy to do. But as I was saying, for those of you who want to get married someday, God has a way of doing things. Now, chapter 2 of that same Ruth, now Naomi had relatives on her husband's side named Boaz. He was a prominent man of noble character from Elimelech's family. That's on her side. And verse 2, Ruth the Moabite asked Naomi, will you let me go into the field and gather fallen grain behind someone who allows me to? Back in that day, ladies didn't work much and they didn't have much, so she just wanted to go in the field and get some food for her and her mother-in-law. Naomi answered her, go ahead, my daughter. So Ruth left her and entered the field to gather grain behind the harvesters. She happened to be in the portion of the land belonging to Boaz, who was from Elimelech's family. Now, guess what? Now that she said God is her God, she just happened to be in a rich man's field that is related on her mother-in-law's side. Glory to God. So when you ask God to be your God, he's going to make sure you end up at the right place in the right time. Later, when Boaz arrived from Bethlehem, that's verse 4, he said to the harvesters, the Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they replied. Boaz asked his servant, who was in the charge of the harvesters? Whose young woman is this? See? Now he's looking at her trying to see, who is she? I'm running out of time, but I want to say that the servant answered, she is the young Moabite's woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. Verse 7, she asked, will you let me gather fallen grain among the bundles behind the harvesters? She came and has remained from early morning until now, except that she rested a little in the shelter. Well, I'm going to try to continue on with this. We're not going to be long, but we got to show you the word of God. God is with you, single people. He is with you, married people. So don't get discouraged. Don't get down. God is on your side. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to be brief, and we'll get back to you. My name is Venetia Lee, teacher of the Holy Bible, Victory House of Prayer International Ministries, and we're going to try to continue with this word of God. But just know that God is for you. Who dare be against you? And don't look at your circumstance. Look to Jesus. Look to Father God. Look to the Holy Ghost. He is with you, and he'll continue to be with you. Amen? Amen. So let's see if we can continue this word of God. Hallelujah. To show you how God gets involved in our relationships, how he gets involved in our just happenstance of meeting someone that God has for you. You don't have to go outside the parameters of Father God's ways of doing things to find your own man. Amen. So hold on one moment, and we'll get right back into the word. All right. I'm not clear if it's continuing, but if it is continuing, I want to make sure that you get this word quickly as possible because our time is short. So we left off as whose woman is this in verse 5 of Ruth chapter 2, and verse 6 says the servant answers, she is the young Moabite's woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. Verse 7, she asks, will you let me gather the fallen grain among the bundles behind the harvesters? She came and has remained from early morning until now, except that she rested a little in the shelter. Verse 8, then Boaz said to Ruth, listen, my daughter, don't go and gather grain in another field. He didn't want to go nowhere else. And don't leave this one, but stay here close to my young women. see which field they are harvesting, and follow them. Have not ordered the young men not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go and drink from the jars the young men have filled. She bowed with her face to the ground and said to him, why are you so kind to notice me, although I am a foreigner? Verse 11, Boaz answered her, everything you have done for your mother-in-law since your husband's death has been fully reported to me, how you left your father and mother and the land of your birth, and how you came to the people you didn't previously know. Verse 12, may the Lord reward you for what you have done, and may you receive a full reward from the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Hallelujah. My Lord, she said, you have been so kind to me, for you have comforted and encouraged your slave, although I am not like one of your female servants. Verse 14, at mealtime, Boaz told her, come over here and have some bread and dip in the vinegar sauce. She sat behind the harvester, and he offered her roasted grain. She ate and was satisfied and had some left over. When she got up to gather grain, Boaz ordered his young men, be sure to let her gather grain among the bundles and don't humiliate her. Pull out some stalks from the bundles, verse 16, for her and leave for her to gather. Don't rebuke her. So Ruth gathered grain in the field until evening. She beat out what she had gathered, and it was about 26 quarts of barley. 18, she picked up the grain and went into the city where her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. Then she brought out what she had left over from her meal and gave it to her. Then her mother-in-law said to her, where did you gather barley today, and where did you work? May the Lord bless the man who noticed you. Told her mother-in-law about the man she had worked with and said, the name of the man I work with today is Boaz. Hallelujah. Then Naomi said to her, daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living or the dead. Naomi continued, the man is a close relative. He is our family redeemer. So that's what Jesus did. This is a type and shadow of Jesus to come, because God is sending his son Jesus to redeem us. And he's given us, after we've been redeemed, we get a covenant, which I just read from you in Hebrews with that first segment, talking about Hebrews and the covenant and how he only had to go into God one time, and our sins are gone forever, and we have eternal life. Well, this is his type and shadow of that. Verse 21, Ruth the Moabite said, he also told me, stay with my young men until they have finished all of my harvest. So this is harvest time, people. Hallelujah. So Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, Ruth, my daughter, it is good for you to work with young women, so that nothing would happen to you in another field. Ruth stayed close to Boaz's young women and gathered grain until the barley and the wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Hallelujah. So that's chapter 2, verse all the way into the end of that chapter, verse 23. But then later on, the mother-in-law told her how to clean up and wash up and how to deal, go and be around Boaz. So Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, my daughter, chapter 3, I find security for you on that you will be taken care of. She wanted her daughter-in-law to be taken care of. Now, isn't Boaz our relative? Haven't you been working with his young women? This evening he will be wintering barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, oil, and wear your best clothes. Go down to the threshing floor. But don't let the man know you are there until he is finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, notice the place where he lies. Go in and cover his feet and lie down. Then he will explain to you what you should do. So Ruth said to her, I will do everything you say. She went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law had instructed her. And Boaz ate, drank, and was good in spirit. He went to lie down at the end of the pile of barley. Then she went in secretly and covered his feet and lay down. At midnight, Boaz was startled, turned over, and there was lying at his feet was a woman. So he asked, who are you? A woman lying at his feet. He was like, who are you? He remembered her from the then he said, may the Lord bless you, my daughter. Verse 10, you have shown more kindness now than before, because you have not pursued younger men, whether rich or poor. Now, don't be afraid, my daughter. I will do for you whatever you say, since all the people in my town know that you are a woman of noble character. She had good character, greater. Isn't that good? Character is great. Verse 12, yes, it is true that I am a family redeemer, but there's a redeemer closer than I am. Stay here tonight and in the morning. If he wants to redeem you, that's good. Let him redeem you. But if he doesn't want to redeem you, as the Lord lives, I would now lie down until morning. So I'm not going to read all of that, but the other man did not want to redeem her, and she ended up with Boaz. And she ended up living a lifestyle of wealth and riches, and Jesus came through that lineage. And I go on and read to you that in chapter 4 of Ruth, where and Naomi got joy again because she was bitter, you know, because now her life had turned around. And so and then they had a baby. And that's in 4, it say he would. Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife when he was intimate with her. So she became his wife. Then they had a son. And Naomi took the child and placed him on her lap. And and let's move on down. A son had been born to Naomi, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. We all know about David, you know. And he was in the lineage. And Obed fathered Jesse, who fathered David, verse 22. And you know that David was after God's own heart, and Jesus came through that lineage. So what I'm saying to you is, single people, God will hook you up, hallelujah, with the right person at the right time. So if you just follow him and just be content and just go about your life just being happy and joyful and peaceful, because God knows what's best with you. You can get with the wrong man and have a life of hell. And, you know, that's what the devil's doing to hell. But you can live with God and have a life of peace and joy. And married people, and when you find each other, make sure you have God as the head of your household. Then and then submit to one another and be kind to one another. And don't be self-centered. It's not about all about you. It's about the other person. You take care of each other's needs and everybody be taken care of. And what I'm saying today is that if you're single, it's fine. And if you're married, it's fine. It's all good if you have God involved in your relationship and your covenant. Because single people have a covenant with the Lord, and so does marriage people have a covenant. And that's why I read the covenant to you, the new covenant that we have that is not made with hands. But we have a covenant with our Savior, Jesus, Father God, and the Holy Ghost. Well, thank you so much for tuning in with us today. I pray that you have a blessed Friday and a weekend and months and years to come. But remember, don't ever get down about your life, your relationships, or what's going on, because God is instrumenting. Just lean on God and say, God, what you want me to do with this? How you want me to do it? Because he's directing your pathway. So I'm just joyful and peaceful and happy that you got a chance to hear this word today. This is Phenicia Lee. I'm a teacher of the Holy Bible, Victory House of Prayer International Ministries. We love you, and we thank you for tuning in with us today. Now have a blessed rest of your evening, and keep God first. Amen. Amen. Victory House of Prayer tuning out. Goodbye.